In a moment, I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 28, if you want to open your Bibles and follow along. Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 28. Now, Hebrews 12:29 declares, "Our God is a consuming fire." Another passage says, "God dwells in light, which no man can approach unto." And this unapproachably holy and infinitely glorious God came to this earth and assumed a human form. Jesus Christ was and is His name. No matter what the followers of Joseph Smith or Charles Russell or any other false prophet may say, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Well, this God who is light, who is fire, who is holy, must veil Himself in flesh, robe Himself in flesh, for man, who is flesh, to behold Him, in order to speak to and be spoken to or be approached by man, He must veil His unapproachable self or essence, His self who is a consuming fire. He must robe Himself in flesh in order to be approached by man. Now, most who saw Him in His robe of flesh, most who saw Him and heard Him did not believe that He was God, in spite of His plainest declarations. And they would say, "You're just a man, and you make yourself to be God." And even so today, many claim that very thing today. He was just a man, a good man, albeit, but not God. The Son of God, yes, but not God, the Father, God, the Creator. And most do not really believe He is and was God. That's why most talk of Jesus and not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they have made up graven images and pictures of some long-haired fellow and called Him Jesus, when they do not know who He is or what He looks like. Well, one day the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, peeled back His veil, His robe of human flesh, and let three mortal men, three of His disciples, hand-picked, hand-chosen disciples, He let three mortals see Him as He is. And also two of His prophets also came to see and talk with Him there. I'm reading from Luke chapter 9, verse 28. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed," the Scripture said, "the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering." He took Peter, John and James and went up into the mountain to reveal Himself to these three, to show Himself as He was and is. Now, this is an example, a clear example of God's electing grace. Yes, it is. God choosing whom He will to behold His glory. That's what election's all about. That's what sovereign grace is all about. That's what salvation is, beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these three men never did choose Him. He said so. He reminded them, "You did not choose Me, I chose you." And this is what He says of all His people. In Isaiah 43, verse 10, He says, "You are My witnesses, saith the Lord, and My servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe Me and understand that I am He." And so salvation is God choosing persons to behold the person of His Son. God chose them. Ask them. Ask every person in Scripture whom the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. The only ones who do not believe this, that God does the choosing, that God does the revealing, God does the saving, the only ones who do not believe this have not been chosen by God. All right? Because God will not share His glory. The glory of His choice, the glory of His grace, the glory of His work, the glory of His Son, the glory of His Spirit with puny man. Salvation is 100% of the Lord. Well, let's read on. In Luke chapter 9, with verse 29, as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Now, these two men, Moses and Elijah, they represent the law and the prophets, which is all of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. You have the first five books of Moses, the law, and then you have mostly the prophets, with the exception of the Psalms. And then the law and the prophets, throughout the Scriptures, the law and the prophets speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law and the prophets came in the person of Moses and Elijah to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Christ said to two of His disciples on the road to Emmaus one day. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and even in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. The Old Testament is not a book of Jewish history, but it is His story, the story of the coming Christ. The Old Testament is a book of prophecy concerning Christ, who He is, why He comes, what He does. And if someone does not see Christ in the Old Testament, then their eyes are blinded, just as Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3, their eyes are blinded to this day in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 3. And that veil is done away when you see Christ, when you see Him. All right. These two, Moses and Elijah, and the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke one to another about something. What did they speak of? What was the topic of their conversation? I'll give you a hint. It's the same subject of all true saints, the subject of all believers from the beginning until the end, the subject of all believers in heaven and earth, even now. Verse 31, it says, they appeared in glory and spake of, this is what they spoke of, they spake of His, or Christ's, decease, or rather His death. They spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. His death, His decease, which He should accomplish. Now, that's a strange statement, strange to mortal ears. Death an accomplishment? Men view death as anything but an accomplishment. Why, death is thought of as the end of things which are hoped to be accomplished. Death is thought of as unfulfilled goals or unaccomplished tasks. But for the Lord Jesus Christ now, His death was an accomplishment. You see, death is our due. It is appointed unto man once to die, Scripture said. The Scripture also says the soul that sinneth must surely die. Why? Because sin is the crime we're guilty of, and death is the punishment. But not this man. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, not God-manifest in the flesh. Not this man. He knew no sin. He had no sin. Scripture said, the law says, this do and live. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did. He kept the law of God perfectly. He was and is holy. So he could not die. He could not. Had Adam, the first man, never sinned, he would have never died. Well, and so it's said of Christ that his death was an accomplishment. He had to lay his life down. That's what he said. No man taketh my life from me. It's impossible for me to die. I must lay it down of myself. So it was quite an accomplishment for Christ to die. But principally now, Christ accomplished some things by his death. Here is what he has accomplished by his death. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the law by his death. Well, every jot and tittle of the law was fulfilled in his life. But justice against his people, the penalty of the broken law which his people broke, the law which they broke, was satisfied by Christ's death. His death was a substitutionary death. He died in the stead of, in the place of, as a substitute for his people. And he paid the penalty of their sin. All the Father gave him, the elect, Christ accomplished their complete and eternal justification, the putting away of all their sin by his death. That is why everyone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died must be saved, because he accomplished it. He accomplished full, complete justification by his death. Now, the Jesus men speak of today is dying for all, yet some of them perish anyway. Well, obviously, he didn't save anyone. But the Lord Jesus Christ now accomplished the eternal salvation of his people. By his righteous life, they are holy, accepted by God. By his sin-atoning, sin-paying death on Calvary's tree, they are completely justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's what Christ accomplished by his death on Calvary's tree. And that's what God's Word is all about. All the types, shadows, pictures, and symbols, all the sacrifices, lambs, turtle doves, bullocks, goats that are slain in the Old Testament scriptures, they point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come to make an end of transgression, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, to put away the sins of his people, to accomplish their redemption. That is the subject of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Revelation, and the subject of saints in heaven, as Moses and Elijah show us, and saints on earth. They're not talking to saints in heaven, and saints on earth now are not talking about Y2K, but they're talking about Christ's accomplishment. Well, poor Peter, John, and James, earthbound mortals as they were, it says in verse 32 that they were heavy with sleep. But when they were awakened, they saw his glory. And so it is with the natural man. He does not see Christ's glory unless he is awakened by God's Holy Spirit. In verse 33, Peter ignorantly said this. When Moses and Elijah departed, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Well, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, Scripture says, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. Peter didn't know what he said, and neither does anyone who worships anyone other than Christ or puts anyone or anything beside Christ, his person and work. If God chooses you to behold the glory of his Son, his Christ, his person and work, you will see salvation is in Him and Him alone, that there's none with Him, no man, Christ and Christ alone. God was manifest in the flesh. God, who's a consuming fire. Jesus Christ is that God, and salvation is in Him. Until next Sunday, good day.